Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach. This is the number one paranormal network. We've got Scarycast tonight. I'm Dr. John Stamey. Great to be here with everybody. We've got co-hosts. We've got an incredible and very interesting and timely topic to discuss. So I can't wait to get into it. First of all, the Queen of Scarycast from the Midlands of South Carolina and truly one of the best friends I have ever had. I'd love to call her my sister, except I do call her my sister every day. The one and only Robin McCrae. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am doing great, John. I'm always glad to be here with you.
Well, thank you very much. We are so glad to have you here. You've got a lot of experience and a lot of interesting thoughts that you bring into our broadcast. So we love having you here. And from Houston, Texas, my buddy Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I'm doing awesome. I had a great weekend.
Well, that's great. Yeah, you told me a little bit about it. You were very successful this weekend in your business endeavor, and we're very proud of you. And now from Camden, South Carolina, the one, the only, the Surgeon General of Scarycast, Dr. Trey Dunaway. How you doing tonight, Trey?
Good, John. Very good. Happy to be here. I'm a little bit late getting in, but I'm in.
Well, we are so glad you're here. We've got, as I told everybody at the very beginning, we've got an interesting topic tonight. It is very timely, and it reaches back to 1947. So only Scarycast can do that. We can only have a topic that is timely in two different generations and universes. Well, first of all, this weekend, some of us were frightened by the Chinese spy satellite that came floating over Myrtle Beach. Now, I can tell you, I was walking out of Office Depot. I took a picture, and there were tons and tons of pictures. There were a lot of folks on the beach, and the authorities got rid of them. They didn't want them out there because what happened, to the best of our knowledge, is the Chinese spy satellite floated out to sea, and it was destroyed in territorial waters of the United States by the United States Air Force. And there was. But now here's the interesting and odd thing, and this is a 10-point, as they used to say on the GE College Bowl, this is a 10-point toss-up. Now, they secured the beach at Myrtle Beach. However, they also secured Charleston, the beach, Folly Beach, you know, the whole Sullivan's Island, the whole place was secured. And I was talking about this with just someone, and we were discussing it because we all talk about these timely things, you know, as we discuss them, as we see each other. And my friend said, well, it was probably because they wanted to make sure that any debris didn't float down to Charleston Harbor. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to say anything to my friend, but here is what I know, and my first question is going to be directed to Dr. Trey Dunaway. We live in an area called Long Bay. It is very, very shallow, and because of its being very shallow, we really don't get many hurricanes that come directly into Myrtle Beach because a hurricane takes deep, warm waters, and we just don't have that. It's very, very shallow in Long Bay. And consequently, from what I understand, when I was a professor, I was told that the current moves in toward the land around here. Therefore, it doesn't seem like there would be any drift south toward Charleston. So Dr. Trey Dunaway, a 10-point toss-up from the GE College Bowl of the 60s, what do you think about my statements there?
I don't know. I think somebody in the government missed the 10-point bonus. I mean, there is 80 miles, at least 80, between Myrtle Beach and Charleston, right?
Mm-hmm. There sure are.
So how do you secure 80 miles of shoreline? And what would you be securing it from?
And I've got to add
I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am not a conspiracy theorist. But there's so many things that just don't make a lot of sense based on what we've heard. Now, I can only assume that, I mean, the people in charge, I mean, the Air Force decisions about balloons and shooting downs and missiles and all this stuff, they're not dummies. So it just seems really strange, unless they had specific concerns that they're not talking about, unless there's specific things that we just don't have a clue about. But how do you secure 80 feet of beach, 80 miles of beach? There's no way to secure it.
Well, it gets a little stranger.
I just say there's, it raises more questions than answers, and it just makes me think whatever is going on, we'll never see the light of day and we'll never know about it.
Right, and I'm going to add one other thing. I have a very dear friend, Cammy McClellan. I work with her at Transamerica. Thank you, Transamerica, for keeping us on the air. We appreciate it. I asked Tammy, because she is from Georgetown with that magnificent harbor. It is deep. There's just lots of room for lots of things there. And I said, Tammy, did they ever cordon off the Georgetown beaches and everything? She said, no. We were all down there actually watching it. Nobody told us to move on. So you've got Myrtle Beach, they're keeping everybody away. Georgetown, it's a free-for-all. Everybody can come on out to the beach. And then Charleston, they want to keep everybody away from the beach. Dr. Trey, at least I'd like to ask you, that does seem odd, doesn't it?
It's incredibly odd. Now, were they keeping people away because it was biker weekend at Myrtle Beach coming up and they don't want to – I mean – did they say why they were keeping cordoning off? Was it because of the balloon, or was it something else in Myrtle Beach that, you know?
Don't know. But I'm just telling you, the empirical evidence is very odd. So there
well,
we go.
Well, just that none of it adds up. And when things don't add up, then that usually means not a conspiracy theory, but just that you don't have all the numerals to add up, because there's some missing parts of that. And also, why would you use – now, I understand where it was, 80,000 feet, something. That's not that's basically space. So it's not something you can just fly up and poke a hole in the balloon. And you can't shoot it down because regular munitions, even when you're up in a fast aircraft, it's just not going to cover that. So I understand you would use a missile, but couldn't you just poke a hole in the balloon? And rather than explode, couldn't you just poke enough of a hole so it would just come down? And then rather than have initially they said it wouldn't be any problem finding the debris. Well, now they say the debris field's like forever. So that didn't make any sense either. It just too many things just don't make sense with that.
Thank you very much. I believe that you and I are on the same page, and it's starting to sound like, sometimes a conspiracy theory means, as you said, we don't know all the facts.
We don't know the facts.
It's kind of a mess. And the other thing that I would, before I ask Robin, I'm going to ask Robin a question here. But
okay.
They said that they didn't have any ships in the area. Now, you know what? You're between Savannah and Virginia Beach, two of the most powerful naval bases in the world. And you tell me that, you know, everybody knew this thing was going to come down plus or minus, a few miles from Myrtle Beach. And you didn't have any ships there. I mean, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense. You know, when you have a splashdown of a capsule that's been traveling and it comes back down, it comes in the ocean, you know, the ships are right there. They know about where it's going to land, and that way they can go pick it up in a hurry. So
they were afraid
of something that would have leaked out of Chinese weather balloon juice, which would get into the ocean and cause problems with ships. Is that the idea? And then they said it would be days until they have the recovery vessel there to pick that up. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. I mean, they've had, since it was in Montana, they knew it was going to the East Coast, and somewhere along the way they made the decision to knock it down once it hit the Atlantic. So you'd think they'd have somebody positioned in the Atlantic that wouldn't take them days to get to where they're going to recover that.
It would come from Norfolk, Virginia, and from Savannah, and they would, like, stay with that, you know, within maybe 100 miles. Anyway, whatever. All right, now, Robin, just your comments in general, because you have very wise comments about things.
Well, I started getting phone calls about it from various researchers that I work with all over the United States. And the one thing that I thought was, well, there's more than one thing I think is a little off on it. Number one, I don't think we'll ever know the truth to begin with, but like in Montana, I have a very dear friend out in Montana. There's not a lot of people out that way. And when the balloon first, to begin with, and I could be wrong on this, don't quote me, but what I was getting off my news sites was it was one. They saw a balloon. That's false, because they were picking them up in multiple areas across the United States and out of the United States at the same time. So there was never just one. But the one that went over Montana hovered over the base where the nuclear weapons are, and it stayed there for a couple of days. Now,
that's right. That's called Robin, that's called Maelstrom Air Force Base, and it is right there in western Montana. You got it.
Exactly. And it stayed there for a few days. Now, if this is monitoring the weather, and anybody who's ever had kids or gone to a party and a balloon goes up in the air, we all know, does a balloon stay in one spot? Never. Okay? So, and it didn't. Now, granted, it's got machinery in it because it's supposed to be a weather, type device, but still, it didn't. It hovered there. And then when they were still seeing it there, it was reported at the same time there was one in Missouri. And they're still saying there's only one. Jen, you were outside and you saw two over here. And that morning, the morning that you saw those two, it came across my news feed early in the morning that they had already brought one down off the coast of the Atlantic. That's another one. How is that one brought down off the coast of the Atlantic when you're that night, you're still seeing two? So there was never just one. The other thing is, the Chinese are very well equipped with technology and everything else. And I'm not saying that, a weather balloon couldn't get away. I don't know what the thing is. I don't. But realistically, I think their technology is advanced enough where I find it a little bit peculiar that they lost the weather balloon. And then it was reported what I saw, and I'm only going by what I saw. I don't have all the facts. I don't. But then I saw where it said on the news feed that our government talked to the Chinese government, and China popped up and said, yeah, it is ours. There's only one of them, and we couldn't control it, and it got away, blah, blah, blah. And then at first, we were no longer going to do anything about it. Why? Because China is so trustworthy, and we get along with them so well, we can take them at their word? That made no sense to me at all. And it stayed like that. That thing had been floating around for a week before they finally shot anything down. But then they shot it down, and there's nothing out there to retrieve it. And then they put out a notice, and they said they were telling people to stay away from it when it came up on the beach because the projection with the way the current, it would come up on the beaches in North Carolina, and they didn't want anybody to touch it for any reason. You know, if she's going to
Robin, that might be a little bit true, that because of the tides, whatever fell out there 6-7 miles out might come to shore. Now, it might.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But then later that night, they said that they did send somebody out, and they had people in the water that were trying to retrieve things, which obviously they should, just to find out. But then it's kind of, I haven't got, normally I get weather, or not weather, but I get news alerts on my phone. I have my phone set up for it. And I haven't been alerted to any other updated information on it, so I don't know what they're doing with it. I haven't heard that they've even figured out what this thing was. I just think that it's very odd to me that China popped up right away and said, oh, yeah, it was us. Sorry. Oops. And it was only one. But yet, you know, here's one that stayed over the military bases in Montana. And at the same time, there's some that went across Missouri, or not Missouri, but yeah, over that way. And then it's all of a sudden down here, and it's still supposedly only one. But yet that morning they took it down off the East Coast in the Atlantic, and then that night you found two. So nobody has any clue how many of these things there were. And I just thought to myself it was very ridiculous that in the beginning, I mean, I'm not saying we needed to go all nuclear on anybody at all. That I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I just thought it was rather bizarre that in the beginning when China said, oh, don't worry about it, it's just a weather balloon, and we were like, oh, okay, no problem. Like, why would we believe what China says?
Well,
if it was reversed, they would have never believed anything we said.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
You know what I've also noticed is that if I cannot find anything on the news about what was the actual path of the balloon.
Yeah.
Show me the line where it tracked. When you look up tracking Chinese balloon movement or whatever, what you see it's like the NORAD people, not NORAD, but the NOAA people, like you track a hurricane. They have different models, and it all, you know, shows all the different colored lines, and this is the spaghetti model of it going here and there. But
yeah,
that was predicting the path, but where it actually went, I don't see any pictures. Now, you know, being in South Carolina, having hurricanes come here, we know exactly what the path is. In fact, I can pull up my weather maps from different hurricanes, because everyone wants to know what the path of the hurricane was so you can go out and buy a T-shirt if it went over your hometown, because the T-shirts are going to be coming out like the day later. Where is the track that we can see now? So, because you have all these disappointed T-shirt people. I mean, good golly. Myrtle Beach, is that like one of the top T-shirt sales capitals of the entire universe? You know,
absolutely.
Myrtle Beach should have a, you know, Chinese weather balloon tracking zeroed in on Myrtle Beach, and you show the dotted line as it approached Myrtle Beach, and then it flew over Ripley's Believe It or Not, and then a message came out of the balloon and said, hey, we're just a Chinese weather balloon, believe it or not. So where is that tracking map? Where's that tracking map? Because there certainly should be a tracking map, but there ain't anything out there. So why not?
Well, now Trey, I read in the articles that I looked at, it said, well, we can't really track a plane, so we really couldn't track this. Well, of course you could. You knew exactly where it was. And I got to say this is one thing that really sticks in my craw. The Biden administration spent millions upon millions of dollars with an escort for this Chinese weather balloon, or escorts for these China weather balloons. They spent millions of taxpayer dollars letting it go all over the United States and then getting rid of it after it ends up past Myrtle Beach. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to say this, and everybody can get mad at me and we can lose fans on Scary Cast, but this is the truth. I can guarantee you that Donald Trump If he had found out about it, that thing would have been shot down in the Pacific Ocean right after it had gone over the Alaskan Aleutian Islands. It would have been shot down.
Well, now the reports that there were balloons, same kind of balloons, and we didn't know about it. Who knows? But I just feel really bad for all the T-shirt people who have had this opportunity for a nice, profitable, brisk sales of the Chinese path over Myrtle Beach, just like the hurricane. And I just feel really, really bad for these folks that I know they're devastated. They have to be saying, oh, man, we had such a great T-shirt idea. What's going to happen now?
Well, the other thing, too, is they are now finding out they're finding them in other countries. It's not just us. And that was on the news today. So there, I just think that regardless of what this is, I mean, I'm not qualified to say what it is. I don't know. But regardless of what it is, I have my own opinions, but that doesn't mean anything. This was not an accident. It really was not an accident. It's now statewide through here, and it's now in other countries as well. And as technologically sophisticated as the Chinese are, and that's probably not the right verbiage for it, there is no way, and God's green acre, I believe all of those accidentally cut loose. I mean, what'd they do? Had this big bouquet of weather balloons and somebody fell and they all went up in the air? I mean, it just got cut loose. I mean, really? And the other
I saw something really funny this morning. It shows a list of the advanced jets as they've come through the past 40 years. Here's the list. These are first kills. F-15, first kill, was a MiG-21. F-14, first kill, an Su-22. F-16, first kill, a MiG-21. F-18, first kill, a MiG-21. F-35, first kill, cargo, UAV. F-22, first kill, a balloon.
Oh my gosh!
Okay.
Well,
so at least we do have the technology to take down a balloon with a missile. That's good to know. I'm sleeping better.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's too funny.
Sometimes you worry. You know, is this another Sputnik moment? Are we falling behind another country in their space prowess? Don't worry, folks. If they send a balloon up, we can shoot it down with a missile. We're good. Okay. Everybody's sleeping easy in South Carolina, except for the T-shirt, because they're probably still really upset. But
I don't know. I saw the best thing yesterday. My friend Duke and I were talking about this, and he sent me over. It's the funniest thing. I wish we could get it up so that I could show it for everybody, because it was hysterical. It showed one of the Chinese weather balloons, and then it shows the back sky. And it shows Snoopy on his doghouse going up to shoot the weather balloon. He sent it, it wasn't him that sent it to me. I can't remember where I saw it on Facebook and I saved it. And I sent it to Duke and I said, finally, we got somebody in charge that's going to bring down the weather balloon. It was just absolutely hysterical. Oh my gosh, it was a riot. But Snoopy to the rescue.
All right. Now, Kyler, you have heard all of us talk about the insanity of this weather, this supposedly singular weather balloon. What do you think about all this, and what did you hear down there in Texas?
Oh, I was just making jokes in my head that whole time. That was funny. But my immediate thought was just like, I mean, this country is, everything's based off fear. Everything they do is based off of fear and to make everyone fear them. So I'm looking for the bigger picture, actually. So, like, seeing this and how everyone reacted to that, I can almost guarantee it's leading up to something, trying to plot for something bigger that, I don't know, try and make us afraid of this for a certain reason. I don't know. That's just what I was thinking.
Well, you bring up a good point. And that point was made actually by one of the authors or one of the reporters at the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC. And they consulted with a number of, they call Chinese experts, and they determined that China just wanted to see what our reaction would be if they just sent something to just plow over our nation. And just like everybody, I mean, it's like they do that. Nobody knows. It's ridiculous. And as I said, the current administration allows the thing to just fly over. Had it been, or had it contained an EMP payload, an electromagnetic pulse that could have destroyed our power grid, well, you know, is that what's coming next? Who knows? But with this current administration, they're going to let it in. They don't care. But of course, we've seen that the Bidens are certainly on the Chinese payroll, so it doesn't matter. You know, they're there. They're going to let them do whatever they want to anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, let's point out another thing, and this could be a coincidence, okay? So just like I said, it could be a coincidence. But the entire time, and I'm probably wrong on this, but when this was out, the whole week that that thing was flying around and all these ones are flying around, there was a huge amount of problems going on with PayPal that when I called, they couldn't explain why their systems were failing. If you recall that night that you saw them over Myrtle Beach, John, what was the problem you had?
The problem that I had is that my bank system was down. I couldn't get any money, and it was ridiculous. I mean, it happened amazingly on Saturday. I mean, and of course it was back up Sunday morning. Thank goodness, so that I could go to the grocery store and get some frozen veggies. But honestly, the bank system were down. Two banks that I know of, Truist and Carolina Trust Federal Credit Union, were down. I don't know about Bank of America and these others, but yeah, banks were down. And it's like, what's going on? So it was a really scary experience. And I'll tell you what I did. I started packing. And I called my family, and I said, well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And Jane, my cousin, said, well, something already just did happen. I said, I'm talking about something bad, and I've got a couple of places I can go. I've got people that have said, John, come on over. So anyway, you know, whatever. It was a mess. And the idea is that some of the reporters for the BBC talked to some Chinese experts and said that China was testing us to see what we would do. And obviously, Dr. Trey Dunaway, it sounds like we failed, didn't it?
Well, now, you know, it's really curious, John, because now you said you couldn't get money out of a money machine or something, so there's something going on with the bank system. What happened financially? Huh. Well, you know, it was really odd. This morning, I had to get some pH increaser for the hot tub.
Okay.
And I went to the hot tub and pool supply desk office, and I picked out what I wanted, and I said, okay, how much do I owe you? And she said, I don't know. There was no price tag on it. And when she tried to use the computer to figure out what the price of it would be, she goes, I'm sorry, but I don't know. So this ripple effect has rippled all the way from the Atlantic Ocean to the spa and hot tub place.
Uh-huh.
And it's caused them to lose their minds and not know the price of pool chemicals. So it could be from a Chinese plot to rock the financial industry of pool and spa chemicals. That's what I'm thinking. I left without purchasing it. I said, I'll come back another day. She couldn't tell me the price of it. There could be a thread there, John. The more I think about it, coincidence?
There,
I think not.
I agree.
There could be,
it's bad enough this is going on, but to mess with our hot tubs, that's really getting bad.
Yeah, it's a ripple effect, which you can find in a hot tub.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that we have given everybody our take on the Chinese spy satellite or whatever it was. And we've asked them a question that if someone wants to get mad, they can get mad at all of us, not just me. So I think that's great. And so now my plan was, first of all, to say thank you for Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation for keeping us on the air. They're the best. And if it wasn't for Transamerica, we wouldn't be here. Now, I had this idea because John LeMay is normally on the first Monday of every month, and John LeMay was under the weather. But my idea was to look at, because as we know, Roswell, the great crash happened in 1947. And I had this idea to take a look at great inventions since basically 1950 and see what we thought about, whether or not they were a result of a technology reengineering from Roswell, or if they had to do with true innovation in the United States of America. So I want to invite our panel to please go over this with me, because I spent some time looking at this. This comes from Popular Mechanics, the most famous inventions of every year since 1954. It's a really great article. I had them printed out. It cost me $21 at Office Depot, but it was worth it. I'm going to keep this and cherish it. It's really a great article. So first of all, 1954, the invention of the microwave oven. Now, what we find out, and it's really interesting, is that Raytheon's Percy Spencer stood in front of a magnetron, that's the power tube of radar, and he feels a candy bar start to melt in his pocket. He's intrigued, and he pops popcorn kernels in front of the magnetron, and 2 years later, he patents a radar range that cooks with high-frequency radio waves. Okay, now I'm going to say, and I'm going to go out on a limb, I think that is American innovation. Robin, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it's amazing, but I also, and I said this before jokingly, and everybody laughed at me, but not that, you know, we don't have intelligent people, we do, obviously, but come on, we're in a cave beating each other over the head of the club and with rocks. Now we have computers, we have microwaves, we have, you know, all of this technology. Even with the brightest people we have, did we honestly think we got this from by ourselves? I mean, there's too big of a leap. You know, there's not that bridge that gradually got it. It was just this big leap.
Well, but we had radar established. We had radar established well before that. You know, I think that might have melted the candy bar. So I think that probably was an incremental growth from, you know, radar. But really, my question is what pocket was the candy bar in? And did he check the surrounding area near the candy bar to see if it might have done any damage to anything in particular?
Like his pants.
Exactly. Yes, things that his pants might be covering up next to his pocket. I just wonder if the candy bar wasn't the, maybe there was something else that kind of partially melted. But
okay.
You know, I'm always thinking of injuries, and that's the trauma surgeon in me coming out.
You're a surgeon, so you think of that. All right, Kyler, what do you think? Is that innovation or is that Roswell reengineering?
This might be one for you guys. I have no idea. It's just, to me, it's just a microwave. I don't really think too much of it. Honestly, I think it's just laziness at its finest. I don't really think it's that great.
Okay. All right. Well, in the same year, Jonas Salk developed the polio vaccine. And that year, 28,000 people in the world had polio. And in 2021, only 6 did. I mean, maybe 12 do today. But we do know the story that Jonas Salk and the mold, I believe that was probably pure old.
No. Jonas Salk wasn't with mold. That was that wasn't Salk. That was Fleming with penicillin. Fleming had the mold. Salk had the vaccine. And remember, we've been vaccinating people, well, variolating people for smallpox as early as, in Western civilization since the early 18th century and earlier in Asian cultures. So that's just been a steady progression from variolation to vaccination. So that's definitely on the spectrum of mankind's increase in medical knowledge and application. So
yeah,
I don't think that was I don't think that was Roswellian.
No,
okay.
I think
Yeah, we have 100 years of vaccines and then the medical science dealing with all the little pricks that always seem to pop up when you talk about vaccination.
Yeah.
That's why we have a Surgeon General is to correct me. Thank you very much, Dr. Trey.
That's all right.
Sorry I got that a little backwards. I appreciate that. All right. And now in 1956 comes the hard drive. And what that is a way, instead of going on magnetic tape and searching through an entire tape, what happens is you can go on a circular disk and you can go find the piece of information you want. Now, what do you think about that? I'm going to tell you this. I think that is Roswellian. I mean, that is like, I mean, because I studied that stuff back in graduate school at Clemson. It is like we couldn't figure out how in the world they developed search and seek technology like that unless they borrowed it from someone. Any comments or thoughts?
Well,
I think of long play records and 45 records and the discs, the WAC discs, and then, you know, eventually it comes out to the smaller records, and then it moves to tapes and different types of tapes, and then it moves to computer discs, and then it moves to CDs, and then it moves to digital. So I think that technology is pretty much serially developed. So I don't think that's too much Roswellian. I still don't know to understand how they can control all those little electrons. Maybe that's Roswellian.
Yeah, I think it's a combo. I think we took what we got from Roswell and we developed it. Like, I don't want to say that, you know, we got everything from them because number one, they're not going to give us everything because that puts us in a position where we could use it against them. But if you also go back and look at Eisenhower, and he wasn't the first president to do it, he signed a treaty, and his granddaughter has put that treaty out. You can pull it off the internet and read it, and it says right in there that he signed over rights to our people for alien technology to be used. And so we got a big bump from that. We have to admit that. I mean, I think that we have got smart enough people that have developed what they've given us. Absolutely. I don't think that everything we have is just, you know, we got it from them. But we did get a lot from them. I mean, our government sold us for it. You know, and I know somebody who is a friend of his granddaughter's. And she, you know, she's got all the documentation to prove it. He did sign it in exchange for technology. It didn't go the way he thought it would. It went south. The group that he was, you know, signing to, he felt in good faith that they were, you know, relatively peaceful. And the agreement was we never disclosed that the ETs existed. And they were allowed to abduct our people, but they were never supposed to be killed or harmed, to always be returned. And the group that he signed this with, they were not honest, and things went south very quickly. But it doesn't change the fact that we were given technology. And if you actually go into what documentation is out there that they have released with the Evens, which is one of the groups that when they crashed, our people called them the Evens, they will tell you that they did give our government technology. I don't think it's specific on what technology they gave. I've never seen it. It doesn't mean it's not out there, but I haven't seen it. But I think that we would be remiss to say that we got everything from them because I don't believe we did. I think that they may have jump-started certain areas, and then we took it from there. I agree 100% with Trey, though, like with the penicillin and that, you know, that came from us. Although they have given us different technology, and this is my own personal experience. When I was 4 and I was on that ship, they had what looked like a CAT scan machine, and I watched them using it on a man. And when I was 4 years old, that was in 68, and Trey would know this better than I would. I don't even know if the CAT scans were out in 68. But this thing that I saw on that ship looks like a modern-day CAT scan machine. And now we have
but we don't know what the images or what the data collection is coming from the machine on the ship. So,
right.
And if you look CAT scans and MRIs and all these other things, they all have the, you know, you're going through a donut because that's where the sensory and the visualizing technology is. So it's hard to know if it's a CT scan or if it's
you know, for what we needed it for. But I do think that some technology, they might have jump-started it. They weren't going to give us everything. They're never going to do that. But I think there is some technology out there that we've taken from them, and then our people, you know, have taken it and worked with it and manipulated it for what our needs are.
Yes, and there's probably a marriage of any technology. I mean, when we're talking about the greatest inventions of all times, you know, when I was young, we had funnel cakes, and we had Oreos, but at some point, somebody got the technology to be able to deep fry an Oreo, and that's a cosmic life changer right there, folks. You know, and I think that probably had something to do with alien work, because the first time I had a deep fried Oreo, I was just speechless, flabbergasted. How could we have advanced that technology this much without the assistance of somebody who is way smarter than any human,
or at least with better taste buds?
I'll tell you that, Trey. Trey, you're 100% right on that. Deep fried Oreos. And by the way, this past year, I want you to understand that I had a deep fried golden Oreo, and that was the end of the earth. That was the best thing I ever had. Oh my God! Oh, I got a deep fried.
You know,
a deep
every year.
Oreo.
Every year for Irish Fest, which, by the way, is coming up March 5th this year in Camden, South Carolina, the fastest growing Irish festival in the South. And we will be having it again in Camden. And that is where my daughter and I will split a funnel cake, because I only eat half of a funnel cake every year. And so my funnel cake date is coming up, but maybe I'll just skip that and go right to the deep fried Oreos.
The golden Oreos, Trey. The golden Oreos.
Yeah.
Oh yes. In fact, I'll just bring a pack of them, and I'll meet you there. All right. Okay. Then the next invention. Now this is really, really interesting. And it's something that I never thought about. Now, this list comes from Popular Mechanics. It's a very reputable source. The Boeing 707-120 debuted the world's first successful commercial jetliner in 1958. The four-engine plane carried 181 passengers and cruised at 600 miles an hour for up to 5,280 miles on a full tank. The first commercial jet flight took off from New York and landed in Paris. Domestic service connected New York and Los Angeles. Now, I'm going to say this. I would not have been on the first jet flight from New York to Paris ever over the Atlantic Ocean. But what do you think? Where did that technology all of a sudden, I mean, the Wright brothers, you know, that they did a pretty good job out there at Kitty Hawk. Now, they did. But where on earth did this jet technology come from?
Well, the Germans really worked on it in World War II, and toward the end of World War II, they had jet fighters, and they were up against prop planes, so that well is before Roswell. So they certainly had jet technology. I think that's just a linear progression of innovation. But now, still we have challenges in aviation, and we probably do need alien technology to improve airplane food.
We probably do. Robin,
So if you're ever on another, cause, and now they won't even let you have a metal knife to cut your mystery meat that's, overcooked and all. So if you ever really have super good food on an airline again, you got to wonder, that probably had alien technology at its heart. I mean, because you got to figure they're coming from a long way away, and they probably have figured out how to make really good food for these long space voyages. So that would be hands down alien technology.
All right. Now, Robin, I am going to follow up on Trey's great comment there, and please don't yell at me for this. But you know, we talk about all those cattle mutilations. I guess what they do is they're just trying to harvest great, great beef for the meals on the airplanes. I'm sorry, Robin, please forgive me. I'm gonna retract.
Well, you know,
they're probably
using alien technology as a meat tenderizer to try to figure out how to get choice cuts. It's pre-tenderized. That could be.
Okay. All right. And now the last one. This is a very interesting one. 1959 was the integrated circuit. Because in 1947, now, one of my very closest friends, Sharon McIntyre, was vice president and in charge of IBM in Vermont. And I called her before this show, and she said, John, you're 100% right. In 1947, the ENIAC computer had 18,000 vacuum tubes, 70,000 resistors, and 10,000 capacitors. 12 years later, all of that was presented to us on a chip. Now, I'm going to say that we must have learned something from Roswell, because I don't believe that type, like 18,000 vacuum tubes, I don't believe that can collapse into a circuit board without some kind of pre-knowledge. Now, what do y'all think about that? I think that's Roswell at heart.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah. First of all, okay. I'm just happy to say I wasn't alive then.
Well, you know, I was thinking there's certain social parallels to that, because in 1959 they have the first integrated circuit. Was that the correct date?
Yes.
So in the earlier parts of the 50s, they were segregated circuits. So as the civil rights movement went along and society became integrated, it only makes sense that the circuit should also become integrated, and there should be no more segregation of circuits.
Trey, thank you.
That's what I'm thinking. I think that was a social change that brought on the integration of circuits. And today, there's hardly any unintegrated circuits. We are a fully integrated society with our circuits, and I'm proud of it.
Okay, that is, Trey, you have just absolutely given us the most incredible comment in the 7-year history of Scarycast. We've never had a comment like that. Thank you very much.
I think part of the problem is we try to address all of these things scientifically, but really social sciences you know, it's important, and it carries a meaning for society, which is why social sciences are so important in education. Everybody's worried about the STEM, the science and technology and engineering and math, but if it wasn't for social sciences, we wouldn't have integrated circuits.
Just Trey, I'm going to tell that story from now until forever. Robin, are you going to? You'll never say anything to me when I start telling Trey's story about integrated circuits. Correct?
How can I even comment after that?
unbelievable. And to be honest with you, you're actually right, because the fact, as crazy as this is, all of those different technologies were fused together into one board. ICB, it's called ICB now, Integrated Circuit Board Technology. They were all actually fused together into one. So in a crazy way, you actually explained what happened with the integrated circuit boards, or ICBs. And, I mean, I almost took a job selling them. As Robin will remember, our buddy Isaiah tried to get me to go to work for an ICB company, and that's what I would have been doing. I decided it's better to sell life insurance and run Comic-Cons. So now,
well, you know, I'm gonna actually be serious for a moment. I went to Duke as an undergraduate, and on the science drive, we had the chemistry building on one end, and then you had biological sciences, and then you had the engineering building. And math was stuck in engineering and in science along the way, too. And when I visited the campus a couple of years ago, they have developed this one big long building that spans from one end to part of the other end. And what they do is they mix the biologists and the mathematicians and the physicists. Oh, yeah, physics building was in there, too. Engineering and chemistry, they're all mixed, literally integrated. So their offices are adjacent to each other. They're not in their own little silo anymore. They're expected to share these ideas. And it is, honestly, through that interaction of the different realms of science that they are finding combinations that work. And it's allowed lots of interesting developments to occur because they're all related. They're all based on the same physics, chemistry, engineering, and math sciences. And so they are integrating sciences in university campuses now. So,
wow, that's incredible.
That was my serious point.
Well, that was a great serious point. Congratulations to Duke University being one of the premier universities in the world. And we're so glad
that you went
there.
With a really good basketball team. Don't forget that, John.
Well, they do have a great basketball program. That they do, and so does Wake Forest. I'm proud of Wake Forest for that. And Clemson has a wonderful football program, and we won't discuss the University of Tennessee nor North Carolina State, but we do love Wake Forest, we love Duke, and we love Clemson for their great, great athletic programs and their great storehouses of knowledge, and it's because of that that we've got a lot of the advances that we've had. So we're at 9:54 p.m. I'm going to give everybody 1 minute to do a plug or to say thank you or to do whatever. We're going to start with this Queen of Scary Cast, and then Kyler Smith, and then Dr. Trey Dunaway with the very last word, and then we're going to head off into the sunset because it is almost time for the one and only Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero at 10 p.m. Eastern time, and everybody needs to listen to that. So, Robin, what is your goodbye and farewell tonight?
Well, I think that the topic that we were talking about at the end about, you know, the Roswell technology, I think that we've come up with an awful lot on our own because we're not dumb as a rock, but I think we got a little bit of a boost from that. As far as the balloons we were talking about, I still say there's a lot more going on there than we will ever be told. And I think that there was a lot more of them out there than we were ever told about. As far as a plug, Georgia Bigfoot on the 1st of April, and a lot of people are already commenting and jumping on that bandwagon because you put that up on Facebook, I think, 24 hours ago, and I've been contacted right and left over it. So it looks like it's going to be a really good turnout this year. Lots of interest in it. I encourage everybody to come and visit us. And then we've got Nebraska Bigfoot Conference on the 21st and 22nd. So April's going to be a big month for conferences.
It's going to be absolutely wonderful, and thank you very much for that plug. Kyler Smith, what do you have to say as we ride off into the sunset with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero?
Well, one, I want to say thank you for bringing this Chinese balloon thing to my attention, because it had completely gone over my head. Didn't even know it was going on, because I don't...
Literally or
whole
figuratively?
Both, yeah. I don't even pay a whole lot of attention to the news, and I should a little bit more, obviously, but it kind of ties in. Actually, I've been with the group probably within the past year or so that pays attention to these things that the governments or the other countries kind of do to test us with these fear-based situations or tests that they do with us. And we've been using a tool called Technotutor that kind of just helps us rebuild our stability and see these patterns that they try and manipulate us with, and try and just be aware of them a little bit more and just figure out solutions to see, you know, what our solution is if something were to ever go absolutely wrong.
Well, thank you. And I can tell you that I think all the scary casters, you, Robin, and Dr. Trey, we're on the forefront of moving forward. We're talking about things. We're trying to get to the bottom of things. We have a little humor sometimes, but you know what? We really do try to get to the bottom of very important topics. So thank you very much for those words. And for the last word, the one and only Dr. Trey Dunaway, what is the last word for tonight?
I've had way too many words for tonight, but I will say that whatever is going on with Chinese balloon stuff, it is pretty obvious that the population is not being clued into at least options. At least, well, this is why we haven't shown you the track of the flight of the balloon. This is why we wanted to down it over water versus over land. You know, my son is in Montana, and there's a lot of space in Montana, a lot of space. And I don't think a balloon that you knock down from the sky is going to, wipe out anybody. They can figure out where it's going to be. So there's so many things that don't make sense. And this is what – I think this is where conspiracy theories come in. If there's a gap in knowledge where it just seems – really obvious that somebody's not telling you the whole truth, you're going to find people to fill that gap. And sometimes it's nonsensical, sometimes it's spot on, but it's just being denied. So again, I think the government in general invites speculative stories to fill in these gaps, and they're content with it. But I really do kind of wish they would at least say, here are some of the reasons that are in consideration of why we let a balloon fly all the way across the United States. And these are the options we had to choose from. This is what we decided. And that would tell me, oh, well, at least it was a thoughtful venture, and they have a good reason for doing what they did. But they're really not saying anything. Just weird.
I agree. Well, Dr. Trey, thank you. This is Dr. John Samey saying good night. The Bigfoot Conference, April 1st, Dillard, Georgia, in Rabun County. Flip over right now to Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero. We'll see you next week on the one, the only. There can't be another one. There's only one Scarycast. See you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.